Thank you, Ramones, for starting us off right. My name is Dr. Andy. You've tuned in to KDBS 90.3 FM on a Wednesday afternoon, and this is Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. Thanks very much for stopping by here this afternoon. It's my virtual outpost where I introduce you to some of my friends, also people I've never met, people who are doing creative, interesting work in the worlds of poetry, journalism, art, theater. Some of them are technological wonks. Sometimes we have political people on this show. Sometimes famous actors. You never know what you're going to find, but you can expect a recorded poem or two, me introducing you to a poet from someplace outside of Davis, and then also a visit from a local poet. All of that will be the case this afternoon. For on this program, I will be welcoming Evan Karp. Evan Karp covers literary culture for the San Francisco Chronicle and for BlitScene.com. He's doing a lot of interesting work, including with a reading series called Quiet Lightning. If you want to find out more about Evan Karp, you can visit evankarp.com, evankarp.com. In the third part of the program, we will hear from Rondu Gant. Rondu is one of my favorite local poets who comes to open mic nights around town. You might have seen him at Six Bits. You might have seen him at Poetry Night Reading Series, perhaps at Bistro 33. He's a poet. You see him walk in the streets. He's always there with a big smile. And on Facebook, and I'm sure elsewhere, biting political commentary. We'll see how much of that he wants to share with us this afternoon. But definitely, we'll be hearing a poem from Rondu Gant. What else? A little bit of jazz, some recorded poetry, some thoughts, an announcement about tomorrow's poetry reading with Jill Stengel. All of this and more. For you, my friend, have tuned in to KDBS on a Wednesday afternoon at 5, and that means you're in for Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. Stick around. Welcome back, everyone, to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour on KDVS 90.3 FM in Davis. As I mentioned before, there's going to be a poetry reading tomorrow night at the John Nitzulis Gallery. That's at 521 First Street here in the city of Davis. And that will be Jill Stengel. Jill Stengel is a now Davis poet who's also lived in Los Angeles and San Francisco. And in those cities, she has organized reading series, run an entire poetry publishing house called A Plus Bend Press, put out 41 chapbook titles, and has published a number of books herself. Her first full-length collection is due out early next year from Black Radish Books. She also has a number of chapbooks out, and she'll be reading tomorrow evening, August 19th at 8 o'clock at the John Nitzulis Gallery, right there at the corners of 1st and E Streets in Davis. The open mic begins at 9. If you want to find out more, head over to poetryindavis.com. Well, Evan Karp is my first guest on this radio show this afternoon. Evan Karp, as I mentioned before, covers literary culture for the San Francisco Chronicle and for LitScene.com. He's a contributing editor to Instant City, a literary exploration of San Francisco, and founder and host of Quiet Lightning, about which we'll be finding out more in a moment. He edits and publishes Sparkle and Blink, a monthly script of the accepted Quiet Lightning submissions. And he's got many other lives, for he edits books, he creates promotional videos, and he's a founding member of the social media new PR firm called Informal Racket. If you want to find out more about Evan Karp and his work, or if you want to drop him a line, point your browser at evankarp.com, or just listen to his dulcet tones, for here he is. Evan Karp, welcome to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour.
Hi, Dr. Andy. Hi, everybody.
Great to have you here. So I understand you're on your cell phone and you're walking through a park in San Francisco.
I am. I'm walking around Presidio Park right now.
Beautiful.
I'm going to look at a prospective apartment.
Well, good luck with that. When I called you, I reached you on a cell phone whose area code my iPhone tells me is actually not San Francisco, but Savannah, Georgia.
That's right.
So I'm wondering what has brought you from Savannah to San Francisco.
Well, that's a really long story, but coincidence would be the best answer. I wanted to get involved in the literary scene.
Yeah.
I guess kind of naively, and I didn't really know what that meant. I don't think I'd ever been to a reading before I moved out here, and I had an opportunity. A good friend of mine volunteered to pay rent for a few months if I moved out to San Francisco with him, and so I jumped on that opportunity and kind of threw myself into the literary scene here, and I had no idea what I was bargaining for when I wanted to become involved.
But clearly it's working out for you.
Something is, yes, I would say so.
Thank goodness for that benefactor of the arts who agreed to put you up for a few months while you were getting launched. But now that you have launched, as I do, you're working on a great number of literary projects, and I want to make sure to cover those. But why don't we start by you telling folks at home what Quiet Lightning is?
Okay. Well, Quiet Lightning is a monthly submission-based reading series, so it's entirely open to the public. And we generally, I don't know where to start. I have so many things to say about it. We're nomadic, so we don't repeat. We don't use the same location every month. So it's kind of an interesting way to move around the city and find different venues, and the experience is kind of unique each time, which is fun. And
give us some examples of the sort of venues where Quiet Lightning has struck.
So we definitely go to bars sometimes. We also go to art galleries. We've been to Mina Dresden Gallery and to Space Gallery. And we've even our last one was at the rickshaw stop, which is traditionally a music venue, and it's a bit bigger. So we try to mix it up. We're going to be at Booksmith, the independent bookstore on Haight Street, in November. And we're always, you know, looking for new kind of interesting places to have a reading, because each event is kind of unique.
Now, I bet if we're going to mix poetry and technology on this radio show for a moment, Evan Karp, I bet you use technological means to get the word out to people, because the different location every month makes it challenging, perhaps, for people to predict where lightning will strike next.
We do. It's very interesting. In fact, you know, we rely very heavily on social media and on our blog, and really the whole story of Quiet Lightning's kind of genesis is almost primarily due to citizen journalism, because when I moved here, I just started covering as many reading series as I could find. I mean, even I would go on Facebook and just look at what my friends were doing and just randomly show up at an event, even if I didn't know anyone there, and I would film it. I would film reading series, and then I'd post the videos on my blog. And so I met all these people through doing that and through covering the scene. And then I realized after a couple months that most of the people that I was meeting didn't know one another. And so I decided that it would be a good idea to start my own series and to invite all of these people to participate or at least attend. And a lot of people did. And so all these people started meeting, you know, each other. And so it's kind of become this community of, there's like a lot of writers in this community. You know, it's very exciting.
That is exciting. And I guess somewhat ironic that it would take an outsider to come make connections between all of these different writers and communities, or do what we here in the university world, what we call it as transcending silos. Everybody's in their own little silo of poetic or literary activity, but sometimes it's difficult to connect with people in these other silos until Evan Karp comes along.
Well, or just a general stranger. I think that you are an outsider. I think you hit something on the head there, and it does seem strange, but it also does seem like it's probably, like that probably happens a lot, you know? It's easy to get in a, you know, even with something like Quiet Lightning, and we average over 100 people at each of these monthly events, and, you know, despite that, I'm still always thinking, you know, how can I avoid becoming a silo, as you put it? I want to bring in as many people as I can, and so I, you know, and different people, because we accept basically any kind of written words, whether it's poetry or fiction or like book excerpts or personal statements. We really like to mix it up, and of course, because of that, we like to have, you know, MFA students just as much as we like to have slam poets from the street corner, you know, and we put them together in a kind of, I think of it as like a literary mixtape. We take all the accepted submissions and we make two sets of kind of compelling, like, different patterns of language, you know, and the audience doesn't know what's going to come next. All they have is a roster with the names, and we don't do introductions either, and we ask the authors not to say their names. There's a lot of random information. But what's our thread? I'm walking too fast, maybe, in the park.
That's fine. So really, it's kind of fast-paced, action-packed, lots of personalities. And I guess a good reason, if you're not doing introductions, to find out where the quality is as an audience member, and then go corner that person or that group afterwards and find out more about them.
We do that, and to compensate for, because obviously there are a lot of writers who are trying to make a go at you know, just living off the writing, we don't want to, you know, have someone participate in our series and not introduce them, but we do want to maintain this kind of high energy build up as one writer just hands the mic off to the next writer. so we print these professional postcards with the order of the readers. And again, we rely on our blog. We just put the website on the postcard. And that way, if some, you know, you really like the third reader, you can just go onto the website and there's a link to their webpage or whatever, you know, info they want to link to.
And especially in San Francisco, I'm sure a lot of people would bring their smartphones and they could just jump right to the website right there from the venue.
They could, yeah, absolutely.
All right. Well, let's reset and remind folks that Evan Karp is my guest. That's E-V-A-N, next word Karp, K-A-R-P. I spell it because you can find out more about Evan's work at evankarp.com. He runs Quiet Lightning, which is a monthly reading series. And when we return from hearing some important messages and a little bit of jazz, I'm going to ask Evan Karp about Sparkle and Blink and how that fits in with this literary scene that Evan Karp is continuing to facilitate in San Francisco. One of the discoveries that I'm helping you to make as host of Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. We'll be right back. Here's an important message from the Sutter Medical Center. The Sutter Medical Center reminds the women of our community to have screening mammograms at recommended intervals. Today's low-dose mammography can detect tumors too small to be discovered by touch. Don't delay. Early diagnosis can mean that you'll have an excellent chance of successful treatment. This message is brought to you by Sutter Medical Center in Sacramento. More information about the medical center is available at 916-454-6500, or you can visit their website at www.sutterhealth.org. They care about the health of the people in this community. A reminder, you're listening to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour on KDVS, 90.3 FM, broadcast out of the city of Davis, reaching the Sacramento Valley and beyond, as well as everywhere in the world via the World Wide Web. If you'd like to find out more about this radio station, point your browser at kdvs.org. My name is Dr. Andy. I'm a faculty member at the University of California at Davis. I've been doing this radio show for just about a decade now, and it's always exciting for me to interface with other folks who have literary aspirations more so for communities sometimes than for themselves. Evan Karp is such a facilitator, an activist, and a journalist. He covers literary culture for the San Francisco Chronicle and for LitScene.com. He's an important part of the San Francisco cultural scene, and I have him here on the live line. Evan Karp, what is Sparkle and Blink?
So Sparkle is the corollary magazine that we print every month. We take the accepted submissions to Quiet Lightning, and we format them and print them with the POD service, lulu.com.
Right.
And because we don't do introductions for Quiet Lightning, and because we do break this rule, but generally readings vary from 3 to 8 minutes apiece, we have a good amount of readers. I would say we averaged 15 readers in the hour and a half, 2 hours. And so we have quite a hefty little, it's more of a book really than a magazine, but we issue it every month. And really beautiful little books. And we sell them at the show, so it's really interesting. I had spoken with my co-founder and co-host, Rajashree Chauhan. We had wanted to do a Lit Mag for some time, but it wasn't until the third episode of Quiet Lightning. I had been going to the San Francisco Writers Conference.
Right.
And they had been talking about, you know, creating, you know, online publishing and creating your own book. And I don't know, on Sunday, I it was a great conference, and I took a lot of ideas from it. And then I read this article by Steve Almond on The Rumpus about why he's self-publishing. And it just struck me that I could probably ditch out on the rest of the conference that day and go home and actually make my own book instead of talking about it. So I did that. And since then, we've published the magazine every month, and we sell them at the shows. So it's interesting because it's like a script to the show, you know, because it's printed in the order in which the actual pieces will be read.
Right.
But it's sold at the show, too.
That's great.
So it's also like a memento, yeah.
And so, and then the money you raise can help pay for that printing and put some towards the next printing.
Right. And, you know, so depending on the venue that we have the series, we sometimes pay, you know, kind of a...
And just so you know, we can't mention any prices on the air, but go on.
Okay. Well, a venue sometimes charges a small amount of money.
Right.
For production. So it helps to cover that. And also, it's mainly, you know, it's not like we're really profiting very much. We're, you know, obviously out to do it, to promote, really, the authors more than anything. So.
That's great. Now, do they mail you the books? Do you, where is Lulu? Are they a San Francisco-based company?
They're not. You know, I should know the answer to that, but I'm blanking right now. They do mail the books, and they're really good about that. It's kind of a very deadline-oriented affair, as you can imagine. You know, for instance, today is actually the last day for submissions for our September 6th show, and so I'm reading the submissions over with Raja tonight, and then we have basically the weekend to make decisions and then format the book and get it off, and it usually only takes 4 or 5 business days to get them back.
That's really impressive.
It is. It is, and you know what's great is that we have a permalink for the each issue, and so I like that a lot about the online publishing about Lulu is that you have these links that people can order back orders at any time, you know, and also I can revise an issue just by clicking upload, you know, I can just revise the document and then upload it, and it's no charge or anything like that, of course.
That's wonderful. Now, these documents that you send off to Lulu, do you send them as a Word file or a PDF, and do you write an introduction, or what else goes into one of these books that you present at your Quiet Lightning events?
Well, it's mainly just the readings. We don't the only thing that we add, really, besides the copyright page and the table of contents, is in the back. We, you know, because I still actively cover the lit scene, I have kind of a calendar of all of the monthly series that I know of and what days they are. It's like, if you like Quiet Lightning, you might like these things.
Right.
You do. And that's really the only other thing in the book. We do solicit artwork every month. You know, we don't solicit the readings, but the artwork we do, and so we just use one image for the front cover and one image for the back cover.
I see.
They look really nice.
That's great. Well, Evan, I'm really impressed with that, and I want to talk to you more about that offline in terms of how that works. But I know that as someone who's trying to foster a literary community here in Davis and then spreading out to Sacramento as well, I'm sure there are segments of what you do that I'd like to talk to you more about and potentially adapt, steal, appropriate, whatever you like.
Yeah, anytime, I'd love to talk further. I always and meaning to make it back up there as soon as my life gets less crazy.
Yeah, definitely. Well, it sounds like you're creating some of the craziness yourself on behalf of the literary community and also the people who come to your events. So I think that's great. If you're just joining us, let me remind you that Evan Karp is my guest. That's K-A-R-P. And he is the founder, the host, and the driving force behind Quiet Lightning, which is a monthly reading series in San Francisco that happens in a different venue every month, and which includes a little book put out by Lulu.com. And I had the, when Lulu.com was just starting, I had the president, the CEO of Lulu on this radio show talking to about print on demand and publishing on demand publishing. And I had lots of skeptical questions for him. But he was he fielded all of those very well. And it's really encouraging to see how enterprising, kind of democratically minded literary activists like yourself, Evan Karp, have taken this model and really done a lot to encourage people to recognize the validity and the quality of the poets and the writers in their community. So I think that's great.
It is. It's overwhelming every month to go through our submissions, and it's just, there's so many. And it was another reason why we started the series, is just because, you know, there's a lot of people I know who haven't been published, but who write great poetry or great fiction. And, you know, a lot of series require that you've been published or, you know.
Absolutely.
So it's an open forum, and that's why it's important that it's open to the public, because really the only requirements we need are your work. You know, that's all we care about.
Makes sense. Well, Evan, if you have five more minutes when we come back from this break, I was hoping to hear just a little bit more about your own journalism. And then I'll let you go on to your next appointment. Will that work for you?
Sure, yeah, that sounds good.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Dr. Randy chat with Evan Karp this afternoon on KDBS's own Dr. Randy's Poetry and Technology Hour. We'll be right back after a little bit more jazz by Woody Shaw.
The Linux Users Group of Davis, or LUGOD, is a nonprofit organization dedicated to promoting the Linux computer operating system and other open source products as an alternative to expensive, proprietary, and monopolistic software. LUGOD meets in Davis on the first Tuesday and third Monday of each month. For more information, visit LUGOD's website at lugod.org or contact Bill Kendrick at 530-759-1019. Or via email at root@lugod.org.
Thanks, everyone, for tuning in to KDVS 90.3 FM in Davis. As a KDVS listener, you probably know how lucky you are to have a free-form, independent radio station in your community, even if your community is enabled by the World Wide Web and therefore becomes a worldwide community. Radio stations like KDBS are an endangered commodity. We can continue this work because of the countless hours donated by volunteers who receive the huge amounts of music that come into this station, catalog it, put it up on the shelves, and run the many, not only radio shows, but the many events that KDVS is responsible for every year. If you'd like to find out more, you can visit our website at kdvs.org. Also, pick up a copy of KDVations if you're curious. There's always some great writing in there. I think the current one has a number of essays and interviews, and also a poem that I wrote about Seymour Hersh. Go figure. Another great journalist, Evan Karp, is here on the live line. He covers literary culture for the San Francisco Chronicle and Lit Scene. This is Evan Karp of evankarp.com. And tell me about your own background as a journalist. How is it that you worked your way, for instance, into the San Francisco Chronicle, Evan?
Well, I basically had only been living in the Bay Area for 3 or 4 months, I think, and I was doing some research for a woman I was interning for, and I saw this little button, and it said, write for us, and it was for examiner.com, which is this kind of, it's basically a big aggregation of blogs, for those not familiar, and it's, I thought it was actually the SF Examiner, which is a local print newspaper here.
Right.
It turns out I was incorrect, but I applied, and I was so excited when I got accepted. I thought that I had this, you know, amazing print newspaper job. But it's basically a column in this online paper, and so this was 2 weeks before Litquake, which is San Francisco's annual literary festival. And so I was doing some research and trying to find out, you know, what this thing is, and they have over 500 authors and over 100 venues in the last 9 days. I mean, it's insanity. And so I thought, well, how am I going to cover this? The title they gave me was San Francisco Literary Culture Examiner. And I thought, well, it's my responsibility to cover this mammoth. And I didn't really know what to do, but I was really excited because I'd been wanting to go to these literary events. As I said earlier, that's kind of why I moved here. And I hadn't been able to because I didn't really have any money. But so now that I have this press access, I went to 2 or 3 events every day for Litquake, and I wrote like an end of the night article, and I filmed all these events, all these readings, and posted the video. And you know, by the end of the week, I was on very friendly terms with all the committee, and you know, they were joking that I went to more events than they did, although it's probably true. It was just kind of insane, relentless attack. And through that, I pitched the Chronicle just like a recap of Litquake, because I'd been to so many events, and the committee had made those jokes. So I said, well, you know, I probably as qualified as anyone else to write this, and so they printed a little article, you know, just a little statistics and a little bit of commentary, and I met one of the editors, and we became good friends, and he let me take a stab at some more articles, and I have pretty much been working on stuff for them since, and that was, I guess, November, or at the end of October. And I've done some author profiles, and I've done some, you know, small press profiles and reading series and book reviews and stuff like that.
That's great. Good for you. So we can find your journalism in probably in a variety of places and websites. Do you also collect it at evankarp.com?
I do. So if you just click on features at evankarp.com, you can get to most things that I've written that are, even some stories too. There's a link to some of my fiction. But I maybe recommend the nonfiction more than the fiction. The fiction's more of a work in progress.
Excellent. Good for you. And what do you consider your best training or background for the sort of literary journalism that you do?
I would say just jumping in. It was the main thing, I guess. Does enthusiasm count as a credential? Or is
sure.
It,
obviously, it's worked for you.
Yeah, you know, that's my main asset, I think, is just that I'm genuinely passionate about being involved in what's going on, and I was actually criticized during the quake. People said, "You're not a journalist, you're an enthusiast." And I was like, "Well, I didn't claim to be a journalist. I guess I just trying to figure out what's going on, you know."
And, right. Excellent. Well, you're doing a really good job, and I'm really impressed with what you've been able to do, both as an observer, as a journalist, but also as a facilitator and as a spark plug for the local literary scene. So when's our due date to send you something? Is it today?
It is. It's midnight tonight. The show is actually on Labor Day. We're going to have a big picnic in Dolores Park in the afternoon, and then we're going to walk over to Mina Dresden Gallery, which I hadn't actually announced to anyone yet. We just confirmed that today.
Excellent. So, well, I'm glad that I could get that scoop. And and be the first outlet to release that news to the world. Wonderful. And we can find out more. Should we head over to evancarp.com to find out more about what you're doing with Quiet Lightning?
You can do that, or you can go to Q, as in the letter Q, qlightning.wordpress.com, and that has, you know, everything Quiet Lightning-oriented concentrated there.
Excellent. Well, Evan Karp, it's been a real pleasure to talk to you about your work. It's in terms of the work that I do, it's really inspirational. I look forward to finding out more. And I also look forward to attending one of your Quiet Lightning events. I'm glad you've got your next one on Labor Day in an art gallery. I'm sure that'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah, it should be. Thanks so much for having me, Dr. Andy. This was fun.
Absolutely. Anytime. Take care.
You too.
Bye-bye. That was Evan Karp of evancarp.com. He also writes for the San Francisco Chronicle and Lit Scene. If you want to find out more, you can go to evancarp.com or to qlightning.wordpress.com. Evan Karp there on the forefront of citizen enthusiast journalism, doing what he can both to record and to promulgate the literary scene. What an impressive young man. You're listening to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour on KDVS, 90.3 FM, Davis. Listening to the music of Woody Shaw this afternoon on Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. I think we've gone too far, though. Too far and too long without hearing a poem. Charles Baudelaire once said that a healthy man can go 2 days without food, but only a few hours without poetry. Oh, to live in his world. Here's a poem by Ted Rutke called I Knew a Woman. You're listening to KDBS 90.3 FM, Davis. Here's Ted Rutke.
I knew a woman. I knew a woman, lovely in her bones. When small birds sighed, she would sigh back at them. Ah, when she moved more ways than one. The shapes a bright container can contain. Of her choice virtues, only God should speak. Or English poets who grew up on Greek. I'd have them sing in chorus, cheek to cheek. How well her wishes went. She stroked my chin. She taught me turn and counterturn and stand. She taught me touch that undulant white skin. I nibbled meekly from her proffered hand. She was a sickle, I, poor I, the rake, coming behind her for her pretty sake. But what prodigious mowing we did make. Love likes a gander and adores a goose. Her full lips pursed, the errand note to seize. She played it quick, she played it light and loose. My eyes, they dazzled at her flowing knees. Her several parts could keep a pure repose, or one hip quiver with a mobile nose. She moved in circles, and those circles moved. Let seed be grass, and grass turn into hay. I'm martyr to emotion, not my own. What's freedom for? To know eternity. I swear she cast a shadow white as stone. But who would count eternity in days? These old bones live to learn her wanton ways. I measure time by how a body sways.
CPS Human Resource Services is proud to join the Community Blood Drive and reminds us that the need for a safe and secure blood supply is now with us. If you are healthy and qualified, do your part and donate at the hospital or blood bank of your choice. You protect not only yourself, but the community as well. Remember, the greatest gift you can give is the gift of life. This reminder is brought to you by the concerned staff at CPS Human Resource Services in Sacramento. They're online at cps.ca.gov and on the air because they care about the people in this community. I so enjoyed that poem by Theodore Rutke that I think we should hear another one. Don't you? This one is about a different woman. It's called Elegy for Jane. You're listening to KDBS 90.3 FM in Davis. This is Dr. Randy's Poetry and Technology Hour. Ted Rutke.
Elegy for Jane.
I remember the neck curls, limp and damp as tendrils, and her quick look of sidelong pickerel's smile, and how once startled into talk the light syllables leaped for, and she balanced in the delight of her thought the wren happy tail into the wind, her song trembling of twigs and small branches. The shades sang with her, the leaves, their whispers turned to kissing, and the moles sang in the bleached valleys under the rose. Oh, when she was sad, she cast herself down into such a pure depth even a father could not find her, scraping her cheek against straw, stirring the clearest water. My sparrow, you are not here, waiting like a fern, making a spiny shadow. The sides of wet stones cannot console me, or the moss wound with the last light. If only I could nudge you from this sleep, my maimed darling, my skittery pigeon. Over this damp grave I speak the words of my love. I, with no rights in this matter, neither father nor lover.
This is KDBS 90.3 FM in Davis. Thanks very much for tuning in to your local campus and community radio station. I'm happy to be here and happy as well to remind you that tomorrow evening at 8 o'clock, the Davis-based poet Jill Stengel will be reading at the John Nitzulis Gallery at the corner of 1st and E Streets here in the city of Davis. It's part of the Poetry Night reading series, which happens on the first Wednesday of the month at Bistro 33 in Davis, in the old City Hall building, and on the third Thursday of the month at the premier art gallery of the Central Valley, the John Nitzulis Gallery at 521 1st Street. If you'd like to find out more about this reading series, point your browser at poetryindavis.com. But meanwhile, I'll tell you that poet Jill Stengel celebrates the chapbook form as publisher of the prolific micropress A Bend Press, with 41 chapbook titles to its credit, and more in the works. Her engagement with the chapbook form is also apparent in her own poetry, for she has 7 published chapbooks, with 2 more due out this year of 2010. Several of her chapbooks, including Late May and May Be, can be viewed online. Her first full-length collection is due out in early 2011 from Black Radish Books. Stengel's poetic community activities have included teaching poetry and book arts at various levels, participating in publishing collectives and writing collectives, and curating a poetry reading series, Second Sundays at Blue Bar in San Francisco's North Beach District. We have a San Francisco literary theme going on for today's show. This reading tomorrow evening at 8 p.m. at the John Nitzulis Gallery will be Jill Stengel's first reading in her home city of Davis. An open mic will begin at 9 o'clock. And I'm looking forward to hearing the variety of voices that will be presented at the John Nitzulis Gallery tomorrow evening. To find out more, visit poetryindavis.com. My name is Dr. Andy, and I'm the host of Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. I've been hosting this radio show for about 10 years now, teaching at UC Davis for about 20. Don't ask me why it took me so long to figure out to host my own show. I think it was about 11 years ago that one of my students, Sarah Oliver was her name, she had taken a class with me on preparing for graduate school in English, another one on An American Abroad, T.S. Eliot, in the United States and London. And when I asked her about how she spends her quality time when she's not reading all the books I kept telling her to read, she said, "Oh, I run public affairs for KDVS." And I said, "I've always wanted to do a radio show." And she said, "We have an opening." So we talked more. I pitched a show. It was accepted. I came down here. Sarah herself agreed to be my first engineer. And my, how an engineer was necessary For before me there are a sea of buttons, multiple CD players, a computer console that plays all the important messages that you hear, such as an upcoming one about the Nevada City Film Festival, two microphones, a phone with more buttons than most computer keyboards, a cassette deck, and three turntables. Three, mind you. I soon learned that here at KDBS, we have the second largest collection of vinyl in California, second only to that of Dr. Demento, who some of my older listeners might know. Older and hipper, I should say. I started in at the end of 2000. My son, Jackson, who we call Juki, he was born in January of 2001. And you can imagine how pleased my wife, Kate, was that I was starting this project just about the time that we were starting our second big project, the second of our three children. Nevertheless, I was able to pull it off by dropping a few of my other extracurricular activities. And in this last 10 years, I've introduced you all, or reintroduced you, to poets with the names of Margaret Atwood, Gary Snyder, Sherman Alexie. I've had Ian MacKay of Fugazi and Minor Threat on this radio show. Politicians, pundits, big shots in technology companies. A wide variety of guests, all of whom have talked about with enthusiasm, such as what we heard from Evan Karp not long ago, talk about with enthusiasm about their next big project. I think the productivity that all of these poets and pundits and politicians have brought to this program has been inspiring to me as a poet and writer and essayist. And I hope it's brought some inspiration to you as well. I've also had very many actors, directors, and filmmakers on this program, which reminds me that the Nevada City Film Festival is coming up. You might not know too much about it. Good thing I've prepared for you a pre-recorded public service announcement on that very topic. Ladies and gentlemen, here it is.
Celebrate another exciting year of independent cinema at the 10th Annual Nevada City Film Festival, Thursday, August 19th through Sunday, August 23rd. This year, the Nevada City Film Festival will screen over 40 films, including comedies, dramas, documentaries, and international shorts in a variety of historic locations. For more information, visit NevadaCityFilmFestival.com.
Wow, that ended abruptly. Where's my jazz? Oh, there we go. I'd like to let you know that the Yolo County Central Landfill has a new program that helps reduce waste going into landfills. Residents of the county, including UC Davis students, can now recycle techno trash, such as VHS tapes and cassette tapes, CDs, DVDs, and floppy disks, at the Yolo County Central Landfill free of charge. You can recycle all those things. Let me add that if you have CDs, if you have records, we'd also be glad to have them here at KDBS. The landfill will also accept TVs. Oh, that I wish it would accept mine. Computer monitors, CPUs, and other small electronic items for proper recycling. All of that also for free. The landfill is open every day except holidays, and they would love to hear from you. For more information, call 530-666-8856. And as with anything having to do with the home county of KDVS and Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour, You can find out more at yolocounty.org. Speaking of the landfill, I'm very excited about the possibility of the new KDVS tower being erected at the Yolo County landfill. Excited not only because this will strengthen the signal in the local area, but especially because there are so many pockets, especially in Sacramento, say Midtown, where people love and enjoy us with great ease from their automobiles, but have trouble sometimes adjusting the radio in the perfect direction to hear us when they're at home. Luckily for those people, and for all of the rest of you listening this afternoon, KDVS programming can always be heard via your computer. Point your browser at kdvs.org, click on the Listen Now button, and you'll be thrilled, impressed, surprised by the variety of music and talk that you will discover there. Speaking of talking, I get to stop talking soon, but before I do that, I'd like to hear once more from the sponsor of this program, Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. That sponsor being the Yolo Federal Credit Union. Listen to this.
This hour of programming is brought to you courtesy of the Yolo County Federal Credit Union. The Yolo County Federal Credit Union is a nonprofit financial cooperative with locations throughout Yolo County. The Yolo County Federal Credit Union offers a wide range of financial services and can be reached by phone at 530-668-2700 or online at yolofcu.org.
Throughout today's show, we've been listening to the music of Woody Shaw. This is Woody Shaw's CD called In My Own Sweet Way. That's Woody Shaw that you hear right there on the trumpet. We've also enjoyed Fred Henke on piano, Neil Swainson on bass, and Alex Deutsch on the drums. One of the most important reasons to listen to KDVS, I think, is to hear from experts about different genres of music. New musicians, emerging bands who you might not otherwise be familiar with. By contrast, when you listen to this show, you hear from not an expert, but a jazz enthusiast presenting you the music of musicians who generally are even older than I am. Nevertheless, I do so with great affection and hope that you also enjoy some of the jazz bumper music that we hear in between the different segments of interviews and poems and public service announcements that you've come to expect from this radio program. I'd like to thank my guest, Evan Karp, who writes for the San Francisco Chronicle and many other venues, for coming on the show today to tell us about his work hosting Quiet Lightning, the reading series, and its accompanying monthly journals, a series that takes place every month in the city of San Francisco. If you'd like to find out more, you can go to qlightning@wordpress.com. Or you can visit Evan Karp's own website at evankarp, evankarp.com. And I'd also like to remind you that I will be attending that poetry reading by Jill Stengel tomorrow evening at the John Atsoulis Gallery. Perhaps I'll see you there. Right now, I'm off to an early dinner at Crepeville with my wife, Kate. Say hello if you see me. If not, If you're not heading to Crapeville, well, make sure you keep your radio right here at 90.3 FM, for we've got some great music coming up that you will definitely want to hear. Thanks very much for sticking it out with this, for this public affairs program. You can hear many more Monday through Friday, 8:30 to 9:30, or from 5 until 6 in the afternoon. And thanks to all of you for being listeners to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. See you next week.